of war we lost.
Well, don't worry about it. We're famous for losing the wars we win.
Baghdad! Don't underestimate Baghdad!
A city rich in romantic oriental lore.
Baghdad! You must investigate Baghdad!
And learn a few of the facts you never knew before.
You both were members of Skull and Bones, a secret society at Yale. What does that tell us?
Not much, because it's a secret.
Is there a secret handshake? Is there a secret code?
I wish there were something secret I could manifest.
322, a secret number?
There are all kinds of secrets.
Welcome back to Cloak and Dagger. I'm your host, Lenny Bloom. Once again, we're here to expose the state secrets that the shadow government hopes you don't learn and to scrape the bullshit off the truth. Joining me in this task, one of our experts, Captain Eric May of Ghost Troop. Captain, welcome back to Cloak and Dagger.
Lenny, always a pleasure to be back on the flagship at Cloak and Dagger with you.
Well, take it away with the briefing and tell us what's happening. Today is February the 9th, is that right?
Yeah,
February the 9th, 2-9. Maybe we'll talk a little bit. By the way, before you go into your briefing, I just want to say, as far as the numerology goes, we're coming into some heavy months here. We've got 2-11, 2-12, 2-2-2, 2. We've got the 22nd will be 2-2-2-0-0-6. Heavy numbers here. Take it away, Captain.
Well, you know, it's always good to be back with you, Lenny, because, of course, there on your home page, you have the July 28, 2005 Texas City incident where you and I saw, you know, how these people are out to cause some kind of a cataclysmic event, a nuclear 9/11. That's the next step in the Bush plan. And you'll remember, Lenny, that week after we had that July 28th interdiction of the attempt to hit Texas City down here.
Yeah.
Again, 2 10-minute tapes from that interview. 2 10-minute interviews are available. Immediately afterwards, that's when Bush went into a tailspin with his ratings. Do you remember back at the end of the summer of 2005?
Yes.
That's when Cindy Sheehan happened. In fact, right after we finished Houston, I went up the road to Crawford for a couple of weeks, in and out with the Cindy Sheehan crowd. And people thought, you know, well, Cindy Sheehan, boy, the public's getting tired of the war. Suddenly the media is picking up on that. But that wasn't the case. What had happened is that Bush had blown the hit. Bush needs nuclear 9/11 like a race car needs a refueling at a race. And he's needed it since way back when. When we stopped them in the summer, you and Ghost Troop and some other patriotic and peace-loving forces, when we stopped that stuff, Bush went into a tailspin, and he's been trying to recover from that tailspin ever since. And, of course, he set Texas City up again. Your listeners will also know that last week, Cloak and Dagger had been very instrumental in shutting down what we think was an attempt to false flag attack Texas City again as the site for the nuclear 9/11. Well, Lenny, what it looks like has happened in the last 24 hours is that a couple of things are going on simultaneously. On the one hand, we're seeing big cracks in the Bush regime, so that Michael Brown, the fellow who was in on the Katrina thing, is the Homeland or the FEMA director,
yep,
is telling Bush that tomorrow he's liable to tell a lot more than Bush wants him to tell to Congress, talk about conversations that they had that haven't come out yet. Scooter Libby is naming Cheney as the person who gave him authorization to release classified information. So suddenly, the screws are getting put to the Bush people again.
Uh-huh.
A congressional Republican leader, a lady in one of the intelligence subcommittees, is saying that she wants investigations of the NSA procedures. So suddenly, we see the same pattern that we saw in the summer. There's been an aborted attempt to cause a nuclear 9/11. on 131, January 31st, and they can see that on page 1, just as there was on page on 728. They can see that on page 1. Now Bush is in a tailspin, so in the last 24 hours, we have had WMD talk and Al-Qaeda talk and terror talk. And that started out about 24 hours ago with a false positive reading on a chemical agent alarm set up in the White House. It gave a false positive reading for nerve gas. Lenny, did you hear that yesterday?
Yes, I did. Yep.
Well, that's pretty clearly some kind of a muscle flexing or intimidation move. I got some chatter about how the Senate Intelligence Committee was working and that these issues of how liable Bush is going to be for his misdeeds in intelligence were under consideration. You know, I don't know that. What I do know is that a Senate office building was hit by a WMD attack or the threat of one. Now, of course, we all know that the anthrax attacks were directed against congressional leaders shortly after 9/11 so as to create an atmosphere of terror among the congressional leaders. Those who didn't know would be afraid of Al-Qaeda, and those who did know would be afraid of Bush. So we had a strongman move last night, kind of like a little mini coup, a little scary move.
Yeah.
Followed up today by an amazing shift, which is that as people who follow Ghost Troop work will know, and if you haven't followed Ghost Troop work, go to our Ghost Troop bibliography and start looking at our articles. Ghost Troop Captain May, any search engine will get you a lot of stuff. We've been working at preventing the Bush acquisition of their primary target, Texas City, for the nuclear 9/11 that they continue to set up. We've been involved, Lenny knows directly because he was involved with us, two times in the last 6 months, and one time back in 2004, getting word out about what we thought were exercises that very much looked like they were scheduled to go live over Texas City. At this point, Lenny, I have good news for my home state because, you know, I'm from Houston. I'm less
right.
than 50 miles away from Texas City.
Right.
I think Texas City is saved. I think three times I think they are mucked up. I think right now they need a nuclear 9/11 before they can start a nuclear World War III with Iran, and that's what they want too, right?
Yep.
We didn't give Israel bunker-busting mini-nukes a year and a half ago so that they'd leave them on the display room floor. That wasn't the purpose. This war is supposed to go nuclear in the Middle East, and the American media is hushing up about it. As a matter of fact, it went nuclear in the Battle of Baghdad. That's another thing they can find through my interviews with you. I think that's in the archives. But in any case, the point is this war is supposed to go nuclear, but in order to go nuclear with a vigor, it has to go nuclear on us first. Al-Qaeda, Al-CIA, duh, has to hit a U.S. city. Now, we've said it was going to be Texas City, and we believed it was going to be Texas City. And we've gone to battle using info-war tactics that Lenny has come to appreciate very well in Ghost Troop.
That's right.
So now it looks like they're shifting to their secondary, which is why Bush came out today and made that crazy statement that they had thwarted a 2002 attempt by Al-Qaeda to hit the L.A. Library Tower, except he said it was the Liberty Tower, which may be significant. To me, working this on what we call the 911-2B, the one that's in the future, the 911-2B scenario or the nuclear 9/11, right now, I think they can't load up the Texas City scenario quick enough again to do it before World War III. Because, Lenny, we know that it's been 6 months from July 28, 2005, when we were instrumental in breaking that up,
right,
to January 31st, 2006. That's 6 months. That's the closest they've ever had it together working with Texas City, which makes me think they need to have a few months to load that scenario up again, to allay fears, to put people out of the way, to shut mouths, to corrupt people. So right now, given that they only have 6 weeks, not 6 months, before they need to start their nuclear World War III, I think the secondary target is L.A. I think L.A. Metro is in danger now. You remember that back when 911 went down, they said that originally there was a plot to hit L.A. on 911. Do you remember that?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, where I'm going to go with this next, Lenny, you and I have spoken about this before. I'm stating publicly, this is the first statement I'm making as Ghost Troop Commander. Folks, I've made four numeric predictions, and all four of them have panned out. You can look to our works for that, but Lenny Bloom, if you're listening to his radio station, listen to him when he talks about our methods and analysis as Ghost Troop. because a lot of it we pick up from, you know, rubbing up against folks like Lenny Bloom. We learn a lot. I think that we're going to have to talk now about something we've spoken about, Lenny, which is the embedded media, the fact that the,
yeah,
the media hides ideas and plans in things like newspapers, radios, TV programs, or movies.
Exactly.
For instance, most of us out there know that Casablanca, you know, great movie. You seen that one, Lenny?
Oh, yeah. Who hasn't?
Casablanca was made before World War II.
Right.
And released shortly after Pearl Harbor. But it there's no doubt who America is going to fight World War II for.
Yeah.
And you can look at Casablanca and see the whole argument of why we're going to fight that war before Pearl Harbor. The reason was the people who made the movie Casablanca knew the country was being led to war, and that a movie like Casablanca was going to play well. So we can say very safely by looking at Casablanca that the Hollywood insiders knew something the rest of the country didn't know.
Right.
The Hollywood insiders knew the kind of things that the Roosevelt presidency, cabinet, and some senators and congressmen knew, but the country didn't know. Or some newspaper magnates knew that the country didn't know. These are the intellectual and the political elite, and they always work together. So in the same way we can say that before World War II there was a movie Casablanca which was made by people who already knew World War II was going to happen for America, for the U.S., there's a movie that was about World War III. There has been a pre-World War III movie, and it's one of our favorite ones to identify and goes through. Do you know what that is, Lenny?
Go ahead.
It's the movie Independence Day.
Mm-hmm.
Independence Day. Everyone out here who has not seen Independence Day, you're the lucky ones. Those of you who have seen it, you missed it. Because Independence Day establishes, this is in 1996, by the way, made by Rupert Murdoch's Fox Studios, Lenny.
Right.
This was the year that Daddy Bush was buying Baby George the governorship of Texas. And in the movie Independence Day, which was, by the way, marketed as Independence Day, July 4th, so it was marketed as the letters ID and the number 4,
right.
ID4, which is a code way of saying an identification for something other than itself.
Right.
Independence Day sets up the idea that suddenly we're attacked out of the blue by an evil, monstrous force, read Islamic militarism, and we suddenly have to go into a world war scenario, three phases marked as 3 days, July 2nd, 3rd, and 4th is the 3 days the movie occurs in. The first day, now first off, let's get this. The president is an ex-fighter pilot president who apparently is from Texas, according to the movie. He winds up on the first day. You have the destruction. Everything that happened on 9/11 happens at the beginning of the alien attack on Independence Day, y'all. So that you have the two buildings. What you remember from 9/11, the two towers coming down. When the two towers were coming down, the CNN journalists were saying, "My God, this is just like Independence Day," and that's exactly true. The idea for two towers coming down by controlled demolition was first implanted in the mind of the American public by a movie which was an ID for the World War III scenario, the 9/11 scenario. Well, those two buildings that come down at the beginning of Independence Day represent the two towers. But instead of having them both be in New York like the two towers, that'd be too obvious, they put one building in each of the two Zionist media capitals, New York for broadcast, and Hollywood, L.A., for movies. The building in New York that came down was the Empire State Building. Those who haven't seen the movie in a while, go back and look at it. The building that came down in L.A. was the one that Boy George named today. It was the building that Bush named.
The Liberty.
Yep. No, it's actually the Library Building. He misnamed it the Liberty.
Uh-huh.
But the deal is that the very movie that was in the opening scenario of the Independence Day, which we in Ghost Troop show everybody, is nothing more than a World War III plan marketed as ID4. That is back on, which leads me to believe that, remember, on Independence Day, the first three cities to get it are D.C., New York, and L.A.
Mm-hmm.
On 9/11, we already hear that D.C. and New York, of course, were both hitting 9/11. But L.A. was not hit, although the story is out there via the Bush folks that it was going to be hit. And now we find out that it was even going to be hit the next year, too. So all of a sudden, you know, this is Bush's announcement today that it was going to be hit in 2002, and thank God he stopped it. All of a sudden now, it's kind of like Boy George is saying, you know, you're lucky you haven't been hit yet, and if you were hit, it wouldn't surprise anybody. That's, in effect, what Bush said today.
Yeah.
Now,
which is just all preparing the scene in advance for the real thing.
Well, yeah, the public mind is being broadly programmed. It has been since the beginning, and that's why we call what we do InfoWar. When they set something up like the war plan in a movie, Independence Day, real quickly to get off that, I'll finish it up with a couple.
Yeah, we've got about 5 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay, Independence Day, the president's up in the air when the attack's going on. Real life, the president's up in the air when the attack's going on. The president in Independence Day leads the country to victory over the aliens by flying in a pilot suit. What did they put in our mind on May 1st when Bush landed on the USS Abraham Lincoln 2003 and proclaimed victory in Iraq? The Independence Day image of a president in a fighter pilot suit.
Right.
This was completely done. By the way, the second day of Independence Day, and we'll finish it here, was a nuclear strike on Houston. That was phase two of Independence Day, which was one of the little trick things that Ghost Troop decoded that helped us realize that the Houston metro area was one of the areas they were talking about. So in any case, the shift of emphasis now, there seems to be a tailspin by the Bush folks because they've been shut down in Texas City again, thanks to InfoWar allies like Lenny Bloom and Cloak and Dagger and the good work that Ghost Troop and its allies have been doing. They're shut out of Texas City. The administration's falling apart. They're under attack from several quarters. There's no way they can survive unless they have the regenerative force of a new terror campaign. And it looks like the emphasis has just switched from Texas to L.A. So the L.A. metro area, which is a real strong point, remember, we're talking about big-time Zionist interests. And, of course, as Lenny and I have said many times, this war is half British, half Yiddish. It's an axis of Anglo and Israeli forces through the U.S. That being the case, L.A. seems like a good secondary zone, and it looks like they might be going back to it for consideration. So when Bush made that statement today, that speech today, he was a little bit anxious and ill at ease. He's clearly not feeling cocky or confident right now, and well, he shouldn't. But I think what he's doing is making a bridge bid, y'all. He's trying to decide whether or not the various powers voting on this sudden shift from the primary target, Texas City, to secondary target, something outside of L.A., whether or not they're going to go with this or not. So what he said was, in effect, let's think about terror in connection with L.A. So right now it's going to be very interesting because clearly the hard line of the Bush people is that they need to blow something up before March.
Well, that's really brings us up to date, and certainly these are very exciting times. And, Captain May, you've been right on the forefront of all this information and spanning multiple different levels from the numerology right through to on-the-ground defense. You're just an amazing guy, and it's just a tremendous honor to have you here at Cloak and Dagger to give us this update and keep us right on the leading edge of what's going on backstage in the Global Theater and the shop talk from Plot Headquarters. It's just great. I just want to thank you again. Just give us your how people can get in touch with you. I'm sure people are being inspired as they hear this. How do you want people to get in touch with you? How about your email then?
Well, Lenny, what you do is up there where you have the guests, you have my Ghost Troop main website plugged in. So if they click
right
on, they'll come to it. And at the bottom of that, there are two pictures of me there, one in my dress blues as an Army officer and one in my uniform as a black belt instructor. Down beneath the black belt photo, they'll have my email there. And along the way, they'll get to see all the various areas we've been writing about. Lenny, there's one thing that has become clear to me since we've been working together, which is that, fortune, God, whatever you want to call it, works in strange ways. And it wasn't accidental that Ghost Troop Headquarters is Houston. That was our good fortune to be located here at the primary target. Somebody is going to have to pick up the ball at the secondary target. And when I say it's L.A., yeah, I think that's what they're talking about now. But basically what it comes down to is that they've got a to-whom-it-may-concern scenario now. Remember I said a lot of times, like Agatha Christie, as you get towards the end of the book, the murders get sloppier?
Exactly.
They're running out of time and delicacy. So everybody needs to be on maximum alert. And as we're on maximum alert, Folks, we're reaching the point now where Lenny and I can read the InfoWarn vibes. And the vibe I'm getting right now is it's time for the InfoWar elements, the patriotic resistance of truth. The people who are researching and talking, now's not the time for us to sit back and be scared. Now's the time to get the word out, to hammer the message. So all I've got to say is thanks to Cloak and Dagger and Lenny and all the help we've gotten from the many InfoWar allies who have worked with us on the Texas City scenario. God bless Texas, and God save California. Let's move on to the next phase of Mission 911 to Big. Let's shut it down.
Terrific, Captain May. Thanks very much for your briefing, and we'll look forward to you being back real soon. This is Cloak and Dagger, Triple
Always
W.
A pleasure, Lenny. This is Captain May from Ghost Troops, signing out in Houston.
Terrific. Salutes to you, and read it yourself instead of asking the government why, because that will cause the propaganda to die. Good night.